Hi, we're Scroll Rock, and you're listening to the Perth Podcast.
Episode 24 of the Perth Podcast.
Woohoo!
24. And this is a great episode. I'm loving it. I mean, we haven't even put this together yet, obviously, because we're, you know, I'm talking now. But it's incredible what we've managed to capture for this one, because things are back.
Yay! No, it's been great. It's going to be a lot of work actually putting it together, but I think it's going to
for you. It's going to be a lot of work for you.
It's going to be a lot of work for me, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be worth it.
Sure.
So if you're listening, thank you. We hope you enjoy this episode.
It's a belter. Absolutely, yeah. It's a belter. I mean, we were at the Live and Unlocked Festival with the Horse Cross at the Perth Concert Hall, and we popped in and out, got some audio bites from fantastic people, the artists who were taking part, and wow, just wow. What a feeling, what a buzz to see live music, artists, comedians back on the stage again.
Yeah, absolutely. I was only there for one show. Yeah. I was only there for the showstoppers.
Oh, I know. I did the rest, remember?
You did the legwork here.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, that's fine. You want to edit it too then and just claim it as
yours? No, this is your job.
And it was just so good to be there. And it was still outdoors, which is like we used to do anyway. We would have things outdoors. Southern Fried Festival, for example, would be out there.
Absolutely.
But it was good to just experience it. And I had a great night.
Yeah, and that you could see in everybody's faces, especially with interviews coming up. Coming up, let's go through a bit of that. We have Gordon from Bohemian Monk Machine, local guy, larger than life personality on stage. It was an incredible night. We've got him telling us about that gig.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we got?
We've got Showstoppers, so what I mentioned before, which is an improvised musical, an award-winning improvised musical.
As it should be. Yeah. I mean, we were there and it was just insane what they were coming up with on the spot with people shouting stuff, but we'll let you get the sound bites for that because it's worth it.
Yep. And then what else was there?
So Sprog Rock, which is a rock band type affair for kids, and they actually developed their songs with primary schools, and it was really nice to talk to them about the background of where they come from and why they do what they do.
Yeah. So will we just get into it?
I think so, because you know I'm boring myself, so let's let's do this.
Let's fire over to your interview with Gordon.
Oh, so Gordon from Bohemian Monk Machine.
Hi there, I'm Gordon from Bohemian Monk Machine. I'm the singer. Really happy to get back on stage Live and Unlocked. It was so good seeing everybody getting up on the floor, even though I'm not sure they were quite meant to. But once everybody was having a good time, you know, by the end of the set, we all had a good time as well. And it's just good to be back on stage and play music.
I had it on good authority that as long as they were in the aisles, dancing was A-okay. So
I mean, there was definitely a lot of bums and seats dancing, which was nice, but like one of my parents included was like the first one up. just dancing away.
I mean, it was a good night. I could see the crowd getting into it. There's definitely people have missed live music, mate. They have. I mean, yourselves included. I could definitely tell you were giving it more than, you know, 99.9% on that stage.
I was exhausted after that gig, 100%. I think it's an endurance thing, but also, yeah, just like going like 150% just because I'm that eager and keen to be playing in front of folk again.
And of course, it's been how long since you played?
Since last February. So what was that, 16, 18 months?
That's
kind of do the math.
I mean, if you did that on purpose, you know, like if you just didn't get together, you'd say that's ridiculous.
That's the end of the band.
For all intents and purposes, it's over. Let's just let it
totally.
Go. But of course, to come back in a way that, I mean, honestly, to watch on stage was phenomenal. It really was. And I was on the concert hall roof at one point and I could
see. I spotted you. I was giving you
away. Don't do it. And I could see how everyone's getting into it. You know, it was a really good eagle eye view of what was going on. And I could just see everyone in the band. You're looking at each other. I mean, Chris as well. We've interviewed Chris before and on the podcast, and his passion is, you know, heart and sleeve.
Chris is like superhuman as far as I'm concerned. Like, you know, he just has an energy that I don't know where he gets it from. It's the same energy that I have on stage, but I only have it on stage.
they don't sell it on eBay either.
You can't bottle it. You know?
It breaks the bottle.
Yeah.
And I could see the two of you like feeding off each other and the rest of the band, obviously, but I could see the two of you just from knowing Chris. I was making eye contact with him as well. I could see that energy flowing. As far as rehearsals are concerned, then, how long was that?
We'd been rehearsing since like towards the end of May, right. Which was because we wanted to do it really quickly. Just because like we had sort of organized a few gigs before, you know, we were waiting on things like the Stirling gig, you know, that we were going to do the festival there and that got canceled. And then there was the other one that was going to be on the Inch that got canceled as well. So, you know, we were kind of like half-footing of when we were going to start. And then two of them got COVID. So we had to pause for a fortnight.
Right.
A couple of them still have that fatigue from it as well. So I think they did really well at the gig, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, the normal flu is exhausting, never mind something like COVID. And especially to have to go on stage and do that, you know.
Yeah, no, totally.
I think for anyone that was there on the night will testify for how good everything was. And actually, I thought you were tight. I thought you were really tight, considering how long it's been that you've not played on stage.
Yeah, so we had about a rehearsal a week, and then that classic sort of like really young 20-year-old thing where we went, oh man, we're not quite ready, we're just gonna blast three in this 1 week and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll just wing it from there, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, it worked, I can tell you that. Yeah. Set list, what went through your minds there? You obviously had a set amount of time to play for. What in any specifics that you were like, this has to go in?
Like, we really wanted to focus on writing more originals for this gig, like, because that's mainly what we had been working on over the break. And we've got another four in there, I think, now.
Nice.
Technically three, but one of them only got played for that February gig. So it's basically still new. Yeah, it's hidden.
It's four. Oh, cut that out. Stubby, cut that out.
But no, yeah, we wanted to focus on getting the originals in. And then a lot of the covers are just really sort of like high energy stuff, like James Brown always goes down in an absolute treat.
Yeah, and it never fails either. It was just so, so good to watch everyone. You know, everyone's joining in for that. Well, not that they had any hope against going up against you.
Sure.
You know, where that microphone. But, and you know, the staff were into it as well. Everyone's tapping their feet. It was just a phenomenal night. And I think, as I said, I think people are missing this, you know. I mean, I used to go to gigs all the time. Every month I'd be at a gig somewhere, and it's been too long. And, you know, people start getting nervous about going to things like this. So how did you find the setup from the Horsecross?
We played that stage before, like a wee while ago on Southern Fried Festival. Back in 2016, I think.
Back in Nam.
Yeah.
30 years ago, before COVID, yeah.
It's a new sound system, which was like so good. Mm. But the stage, you know, it's nice familiar territory to come back for the first gig.
Nice.
I think the seating arrangement was, you know, obviously it's COVID and everything. You know, I'd much prefer people just standing around and milling around and dancing from the start. But
there were barriers, I think, for totally, what I'm about to term, not chairs, barriers, you know. And I get that because you do get caught up in the moment, and people definitely were getting caught up in your moment.
100%, yeah.
Anything in the pipeline then? Anywhere else lined up?
Yeah, we've got a gig over in Inverness at the Botanic Gardens.
Ooh.
That's on the 21st of August. Don't quote me.
I've heard of it.
It's definitely our Facebook page. That's more reliable than I am.
Is this a singing to plants thing? Are they hoping you're going to...
I think it's going to be kind of a similar sort of kind of thing that we've done a couple of gigs before, which is a lot of people sitting at like coordinated tables of like four and five and more of a kind of restaurant-y cafe kind of vibe, which is... definitely still different for us, you know, but
I think we all have to come to exception that if we want to do these things,
we just have to sort of roll with what the punches are. Yeah,
exactly. And I actually think as well, the Horsecross, I spoke to them as well, obviously, and the whole, they've been off for a long time too. I mean, they've been working behind the scenes and of course trying to plan, kiboshed. And for this to actually go ahead, they're all in the same boat of going, right, how do we do this again? You know, so to see it all come together and the whole event, you know, being at most of the gigs and the events and the comedians and stuff, it's been really good. As I say, you guys were a highlight. I've never seen you live before, which is ridiculous, but there we are.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and I know the crowd did as well. So, Botanic Gardens, what's the date for that one?
That's the 21st.
Well, hey.
I hope. Oh.
Touch the wood. Touch all the wood. Brilliant. No, listen, thanks for coming along. Great to see you. We'll see you again soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Gordon, absolute pleasure having him in. Great to hear his thoughts on the gig as well. And after all the cancellations and stuff that he's had, you could tell, you couldn't see it on the podcast, but I was there in front of him. You could see the absolute beaming face of, we got to play live.
Yeah, which is awesome.
It is. And you know, long may that continue as well. So Gordon, thanks very much for coming in. What's up next?
So up next, we have the Showstoppers, the improvised musical.
Yeah. I mean, only the sound bites can really bring home. If you get a chance to see Showstoppers and you're into, like, you know, on stage stuff, comedy, whatever, they just blew it out of the water.
And that was it. It was improvisation, comedy, and musical.
And an improvisation musical just in itself, you're like, nah, I don't believe that. But yes, it happened, and it happened right in front of us.
I can't remember lyrics to songs that I've heard 100 times. Never mind make some up on the spot, you know.
But no, it was fab. I mean, let's just get straight into it and let's have a listen.
They are up from London just for you this evening. So here is Showstopper, the musical, the improvised musical.
I'm Andrew, I'm from London, and I'm the Associate Artistic Director of Showstopper, the improvised musical.
Hello, I'm Ruth, I'm also from London, and I am one of the founder members of Showstopper, the improvised musical.
Hello, I'm Ali James, I'm from Southend in Essex, and I am the Movement Director of Showstopper, the improvised musical.
I'm Duncan Walsh Atkins, I'm also from London, I'm the Musical Director of Showstopper, the improvised musical.
Now, we were really, really fortunate and lucky to get into the dressing room after this event, after Showstoppers did their thing. So we'd seen the show, we were blown away by it, and then we got into the dressing room.
Yeah, so we actually got to go and speak to them and just ask them some questions that probably is on a lot of people's minds in some cases.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was good.
And of course, the big question is, how does it feel to be back?
We've actually started touring again, I think
it's a month.
Month or two ago, theatres in England opened up a bit quicker than they did up here. Not necessarily a good thing.
No.
So we're still finding our feet. We're still getting back and embracing live audiences. We're very lucky that we managed to do a lot of work over lockdown and changed into a sort of online-based company and did a lot of live streams, and we kept ourselves in practice through that. But now we're just enjoying having real people again.
And of course, we had to ask them, how did they find our beloved local Perth audience?
The Perth audience, come on, Perth.
Oh, the audience in Perth were great. It's really lovely to have people again. I mean, any people is wonderful, but like hearing laughter and just like seeing faces, and they were so up for it. And I mean, you know, just before we started, it was properly raining. So, we, you know, you never know what you're going to get, but that didn't seem to, don't want to do a pun, but it didn't seem to dampen them at all. I really didn't mean to, and I could feel it coming out of my mouth. Yeah, I know, right? But they were lovely. They were really great and very imaginative. And we've never had a call for Cleveland, Ohio before, and I genuinely did grow up in Cleveland, Ohio. So that was a lovely little treat for me.
And actually, she belted out a love ballad to Cleveland, Ohio at one point.
And her knowledge of, you know, Cleveland football teams and stuff like that was impeccable. Suspicious, I would say, live listening to it going, how did she, what? But yeah, and back to the actual group, of course, as well, of, you know, people, we had four people in front of us, all who'd been making up all this stuff on the spot. And really, I think we're trying to get down to the background. How does it work? How does it tick?
We basically have three guidelines, principles to work around, which are listen, accept, and commit. So whatever any of your buddies give you, be it musical or dialogue or lyrics, you're going to accept that and develop that wholeheartedly with full blast it out commitment. And that's one of the most joyful things about Showstopper is everyone being on the same page and piling in with absolute gusto when no one knows where it's going.
For you, the big question was, how did the musician keep up? Because Duncan was there and he had his keyboard and he had to... He was the first thing you heard, but then he had to keep up with the themes and they all had to work with each other.
And we saw them on stage, but the keyboard player was, you know, the eyes were on the other three the whole time going, yeah. What are you doing? What's the signals? And that was interesting as well to hear what he had to say about that.
As Ali says, it just comes back to listening. So I start playing something, then I listen to what they do and we just react to each other. I follow a lot of visual cues, so you know, if I can see them sort of wave their arms or sort of you know, make a certain gesture, it means we might want to speed up or we might want to stop or yeah. So as Ali says, it's just looking and listening and just committing to whatever's happening.
Which brought me sort of to the question of how long have they been working together? Because I think there has to be a natural rapport with people when they're working in a group like that and trying to figure out each other's signals and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that your whole contribution?
That's my entire... I agree. I concur, Doctor.
I concur. What a film.
Well, we're part of a much bigger company, actually, with the squad that came up to Perth, but there are about 20 or so of us, actors, performers, and musicians. And the company as a whole has been running for just shy of 15 years. It started off as an idea by Adam Megiddo and Dylan Emery, our artistic directors, who thought, just what would it be like to just make up a musical? They had the idea when working with the late, great Ken Campbell, the amazing theatre maker, and they just thought, yeah, let's try it out. They booked a rehearsal room for a week, practiced improvisation exercises. At the end of that week, put on a show, and then went, that wasn't necessarily the best show, but there's a kernel here of something we can build. It's my understanding. I wasn't there.
It wasn't the best.
Freeze and Scotland, it'll be.
Now, these guys are based in London, so we had to ask a question. Have you seen much of Perth when you've been up here?
Tricky one as well, because, you know, they've come up, they're straight on stage, they're doing two shows. Yeah.
It was really lovely for us to come up, because obviously we do Edinburgh every year, and we haven't been up for, well, this is our second year not doing Edinburgh. So it was actually really lovely, like, getting the train into Edinburgh. At the time, we would normally come up to the festival, and then go beyond.
Actually going on the fourth road bridge.
I know, right? And we thought, like, so you see bits of, like, this is a bit of Scotland I've never seen before. So we managed to, so we walked from the station and we had a little wander around and we were sort of looking at, oh, little shops and little bits. And there was a beautiful view, wasn't there? Like, as we walked up, there's like a huge hill and there's a little house nestled in it. And Andy and I were saying, that'd do, yeah, we'll have that.
Now, one of the things I loved about Showstoppers, like we talked about, was the fact they were making up music on the spot. So we got a couple of sound bites. One of the suggestions was Rodgers and Hammerstein. So they asked for a style of music on, they were given Rodgers and Hammerstein. They asked for where they were, and they were given three main suggestions from the audience. Which were?
Well, the one that I remember most and wasn't even used was Inside a Can of Beans.
I forgot about that. But no, the ones they went with was On the Crystal Maze.
And Folk from Ochtermuchty.
Ochtermuchty. And Cleveland, Ohio as well. Yeah. So this song is If I had a crystal, or if I won a crystal, in the style of a Rodgers and Hammerstein song.
If I win a crystal, then I win the girl. And if I can grab a ticket, then I can rule the world. If I can win a crystal,
and remember, I mean, that was all made up on the spot. That was not, I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of pre-structure made up, but the actual, you know, to tie it in with what the audience had only suggested half an hour ago to them, and they'd been running with this theme. Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't like they said, oh, there's your theme. So what if it was the Crystal Maze? But they were on a cruise ship.
Because we've already written the song for a cruise ship.
Exactly.
None of that happened. That just did not happen.
And then later on, you had the Crystal Maze floor manager from behind the scenes of the show chatting up, for lack of a better term, one of the contestants. And someone from the audience suggested doing it in the style of Hamilton. And this had me in stitches. I love that bit at the end there. It was just fun. And the audience were right into it. And that in itself, it makes a difference. But I mean, people were just so eager for theater.
And so into what they were saying. It wasn't like, you know, the jokes weren't going above people's heads because folk were just tuning in to go, right, where are they going with this? Uh-huh. But yes, Toby, I'd like to manage your floor, mate.
I'm out.
So again, Showstoppers, thanks for letting us in and bothering you after your show.
You guys were brilliant. And if anyone's going to the Edinburgh Festival next year, see if they're on. Check them out. I've been a performer at the Edinburgh Festival before.
Oh, I had to bring that up, eh?
Of course.
Had to bring it up. We didn't let it go.
So what's next?
So that brings us round to Sprogrock, who you heard at the very beginning of the show introducing this episode. We are Sprogrock. And I was there for this one, interviewing them after their first show and just before they went back on stage for a second show within 2 hours of each other, playing to kids, which, you know, well played, absolutely. You know, I think there's a tougher audience and a bunch of kids want to dance and jump around, and they had a great time, the kids. So Sprog Rock are a rock type band. They all play different instruments and they play songs based around what they've developed with primary school kids. So this isn't just they've made up a bunch of kids' songs. Mm-hmm. They talked to us about how they developed their songs and what interests them. And one of my favorite parts of this interview is actually what their favorite part of the show is. Like, they've got specific parts of the show and we get some really cool background to how those bits came about.
Hi, my name is Ronan. I'm based in Glasgow, but I'm originally from Ireland.
Hello, I'm Geraldine. I am based in Glasgow, but I am originally from Aberdeen.
Hey, I'm Rory, and I'm from Aberdeen too, originally, and then now I live in Callander.
Hi, I'm Kim. I am originally from Edinburgh, and I live in Glasgow.
Hi, I'm Pete. I live in Glasgow, and I'm originally from Berwick-upon-Tweed.
So today we're in Perth and we're doing the Sprogrock gig. So over the last couple of months, we've been working in primary schools and nurseries in the East End of Glasgow to make some brand new songs, which now is our set. So we are performing all of those really exciting songs here today. We did a gig this morning that was absolutely jumping. There was such good dance moves the whole time. And we're going to do it again this afternoon. So we're hoping for just as much dancing.
First of all, start by asking where Sprogrock originated. Where did this idea come from?
Sprogrock is like the brainchild of Katie Wilson, who's actually not here. She's sort of our Mama Sprog. And it originally was a sort of one-day festival at Tramway while Katie was doing a residency, kind of exploring this idea of like, what kind of music do children like? That does music for children have to be a specific thing, or do children just
like all kinds of music and have their own tastes and like different things. And so there was a sort of one day event, and then that was, I mean, now probably about 12 years ago. And then sort of various iterations of the band have been working in schools and in nurseries and doing gigs at festivals and putting on live shows in venues and in schools. And where we're at just now, I don't know. We'd like to just play more music, write more songs.
We've been quite lucky, actually, because we've been doing a project in primary schools and nurseries in Easter House in Glasgow. And we have been writing songs outdoors in playgrounds with young kids. And we have been performing for them then in the following weeks in their playgrounds. So we've been doing loads of gigs around Glasgow to like up to 150 kids in their pods. And that's been just wonderful. And then before that, we managed to do a gig last September, a pilot project last September for that project. And before all that, though, we did a Hogmanay, Sprogmanay, we called it, in January 2020. And we were kind of, you know, we were, oh, that was great, let's keep going, more gigs. And then the lockdown happened, and here we are. But this is the first big gig we've played in a while, I would say, here in Perth.
And as I said, my favourite part of this interview, what's your favourite part of the show?
I think my current favourite part is a song that we wrote with some children in Easter House called Rock and Roll Animals. It's about animals who like to rock, and it's got some really fun rocking parts in it. There's a sort of homage to a Rage Against the Machine song in there that adults might pick up on. And we're also wearing some animal costumes that we've got. So I can't actually see when I'm playing that song, which adds a sort of aspect of danger to it because I can't see the guitar, but it's a lot of fun to play.
One of my favorite parts of the show is right before we play one of our last songs, we teach the audience about how sometimes bands leave the stage, but really they have another song. And if you shout one more tune, they might come back and play it. And I really enjoy hearing all the very small children shouting one more tune and introducing them to that element of gigs.
My favourite part at the moment is a song called Lemon Rainbow Rainbow Lemon Table. I can't even remember what it's called. It's so good. I'm just the drummer, so I don't have to sing the words, but yeah, they worked with a nursery, and they wanted to call it that. And one of the kids was really into Dre and Eminem randomly. So the song's kind of like really dark hip hop style groove where everyone gets to shout rainbow. And it's just such a fun thing to play. It's really, really nice and really unexpected.
I think my favourite part is we've got a song called Octopus, about an octopus. And while we were rehearsing, Ronan started sort of playing lots of percussion and then sort of very quickly developed this sort of mischievous octopus character. So Katie then designed a costume for him. Yeah, I really enjoy the sort of like very cheeky, mischievous nature of that. And I also quite like it because I quite often can't see what's happening because it's either like behind me or far out of my eye line, and which is good because it means I can keep singing and not start laughing. But it's also like very joyful.
Well, I really like being the octopus, but also I'm just today, for example, just watching kids and families dance together. It's just so funny sometimes and so much fun. I was just getting distracted today watching a young girl just having, it looked like the first time she'd been to a gig. That's right. Just real fun to watch. And watching and seeing in the audience that the parents and kids are catching up on the lyrics, these songs they would never hear before. So they're picking up on what we're throwing out. So yeah, watching people have fun at the gigs.
And I don't think the sound bites here really justify, you know, what I was looking at when they played their second show. And it was a lot of fun. The kids were up, the adults were bopping their heads as well. I'm not going to lie, they were well into it too. So Sprog Rock, another cracking day out for the kids.
Yeah, I sometimes find that, to be honest, when I've taken the girls to stuff, and you find I'm actually enjoying this a bit more than you, kid. see the Disney stuff. When you get the Disney stuff and the music kicks in, you're like, actually, I'm just a big child inside.
They can't remember a thing, and you're singing the whole ballad from start to finish. But yeah, that was some fantastic stuff. I loved it. I love being back out again. It's really good to see the Horse Cross with the doors open. Not that they've been closed. With the interview we had last week with Nick, or the last episode with Nick, who runs Horse Cross. Go and listen to that if you haven't listened to it. You get a wee bit of background into what, you know, they have, the doors have been closed, but they've not been stopping working. They've had to carry on. And it's a real insight into what this event was all about. Sad to see the back of it, but can't wait for the next one.
Well, this is it. It's just the beginning again. The new beginning.
Absolutely. The new. The new you.
Is that another the Hoover from Teletubbies?
Possibly. Oh, geez. Oh, that's nightmare material, that is. So that's us. That was our week in Horsecross.
Yeah. And what a week it was.
What a week indeed. And we're going to leave you with a soundbite. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we leave you, we'll just remind you to like, subscribe, tell your friends.
Yeah. Contact us if you've got something to say or something to promote.
Somebody did. So
somebody did.
Taylor, hey. I hope this episode lives up to your expectations.
But yeah, it's get in touch if you've got an event on, if you've got something that you want to say, charity work, whatever it might be, something that can help someone somewhere, give us a shout.